time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along. TGIF, I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, as always. Sean Mapes, the best producer in the game, behind the glass. We are ready for some Week 3 football. We'll talk about yesterday's Thursday night football game in the next segment, but let's focus on the guys we have here in Houston who are going to make the trek to Chi-Town and play the Chicago Bears. How are you guys feeling just overall, big picture, as the Texans head to Chicago?
You know, Vanessa, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about this one. I think this is maybe the most winnable game on the schedule for the Texans all year. And yeah, it's on the road, so that could always complicate things a little bit. But when you take a look at the quarterback under center for Chicago, when you take a look at a defense for Chicago that's not very good against the run, as we saw Sunday night against Aaron Jones, and a running game that the Bears have that can't overcome Justin Fields, at least to this point, limitations. I'm feeling good. How about you?
I feel good about it, and I think Sean said it best yesterday that it kind of is a must-win when you take inventory, you look at the Texans' schedule. I don't want to be schedule girl here, but you got the Chargers. Jags, they could win. Chargers, Jags, Raiders, Titans, Eagles. They've got some tricky games coming up. If they can win this one, they at least have some momentum. And then, yeah, they have the Jags. They have a game against the Commanders. They also have one against the Browns. I mean, and the Chiefs. It's tricky.
This is if you don't want to be embarrassing this year, at least completely embarrassing, you got to win this. So I'm begging, please. I know we have other shows with different agendas.
Yes.
The embrace the suck. F that noise. I want this team to, at the very least, be watchable. Please, for the love of God, you had the Colts handing that game
right
to you left and right. You had the Broncos handing that game to you left and right. Please.
Nathaniel Hackett, the hip-hop dancing brain surgeon,
yeah,
handed you the game. You couldn't complete it.
Hip-hop dancing brain surgeon. Goodness gracious. Yeah, that's who he is. You gotta win one. Okay, just please.
The sense of urgency, I like it. Sean, what's your level of urgency here?
I think so, too, because, you know, Joel has been propagating the embrace the suck. I think Paul is rejecting the suck.
Yes.
Just reject the suck movement from Paul, the temperance movement.
Sucking is canceled.
Yeah, this is a huge game for Paul to not be embarrassed about this team.
Thank you.
We have a nice square 1-1-1 record. That'd be cool to have that.
Well, plus, what if you get, like, if you embrace the suck and then you draft Trevor Lawrence and he doesn't end up being that much better than Davis Mills?
Thank you. So although, we might be finding else otherwise out
right
on that.
But
this Sunday
but
will
the
be
point is that there's a percentage, a large percentage of the guys that go first, second, third that never work out.
Oh, yeah. It's like a
so embracing the suck is very risky.
Mm-hmm.
It's very risky to suck. Let's talk about Pep Hamilton, the Texans offensive coordinator. There's been a lot of debate online if you look at Texans Twitter, Texans spaces, etc. Did Davis Mills screw up? Is Pep Hamilton not calling good enough games? Pep Hamilton talked to the media yesterday about what he'd like to see from his offense.
Just being more opportunistic. You know, just when the opportunity presents itself for us to make plays, you know, we're going to make those plays. You know, we feel good about, you know, our guys having a great understanding of what we're doing and how we're attacking our opponents. We just, you know, now have to capitalize on those opportunities.
I interpret that as a shot at Davis Mills.
Really?
If the opportunities are there, that means that there are people open downfield and you have to hit them. And I know that everyone is so defensive online of their sweet baby boy because they bought into him without actually thinking about
Mills
it.
Mills Money Mania?
Right. Yeah, the Mills Mafia. You guys bought in without thinking long and hard about everything that you have seen under center for the Texans over the years. This is a guy who is missing wide open players on the sidelines and who is holding onto the ball and being extremely tentative with
it. So your team, it's more Davis Mills than Pep Hamilton.
Yes, I think so. Some people are looking for any reason to blame someone other than Davis Mills. Sometimes it's just as simple as the quarterback doesn't have the chutzpah, if you will, to throw the football into difficult spots on the field. He's a little bit risk averse. College has, I think, made a lot of these quarterbacks get to that point where these offenses are designed to make players so wide open that now all of a sudden when they see coverage, they're like, wait a second, what? What's going on here? Should I actually throw it into coverage? You got to have some balls. You got to throw it in. I mean, Jameis Winston's someone who drives me crazy as a quarterback, but give him credit. The guy throws
He'll
it into tight
it.
Windows. Yeah.
Pep Hamilton, by the way, was really good at maximizing the potential of other quarterbacks he's worked with. Noteworthy, of course, was Andrew Luck. That didn't work out long term, but you did see some improvement from Luck. I know Texans fans are hoping he can do the same with Davis Mills. Somebody asked him how he can maximize that talent of Davis Mills. This is what Pep said.
Attack the opponent. We're just trying to do everything we can to stay out of obvious passing situations, because you look across the league, that's the biggest challenge for quarterbacks. You know, you got young quarterbacks, you know, guys like Davis, who has only, 418 attempts as a pro, compared to guys that have been in the league for a long time. You know, Tom Brady has over 10,000 attempts, but you go back and you look at the games and you see there's incomplete passes, there's interceptions, there's plays that aren't made. And why is that? And in obvious passing situations, all right, it's a challenge for any quarterback. So we're doing everything we can to, you know, make sure that third down is manageable, if we have a third down at all, and then give ourselves a better chance of continuing drives and scoring points.
He is defending Mills to a degree there by, as you mentioned, bringing up Tom Brady. Let's pump the brakes.
Let's not use that. Again, like, use a quarterback you worked with, like Andrew Luck or something.
Yeah. It would at least make us feel better.
Right.
But you hear the entirety of that, Vanessa, and I mean, is that not an offensive coordinator who views his quarterback as nothing more than a game manager? We don't want to be in obvious passing situations. Obviously, no team wants to find themselves there. But certain teams in obvious passing situations, you're still feeling a little bit nervous. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, obviously those guys are special. If Davis Mills has the potential to be special, I don't think you're going to be so afraid of those situations.
Right.
But every single time that we've seen Davis Mills in a third and long, I mean, have you felt good?
No.
Haven't you wanted to quick kick maybe for a second?
I will say this. I do think, for whatever reason, the Texans roster trusts Davis Mills maybe a little more than the Bears roster trusts Justin Fields. Now, you saw that chemistry week one with the Bears as they got the big win. Great. Good for them. But here's Justin Fields on whether or not the Bears trust him.
When there are 11 passes in a game, do you look at that as a vote of no confidence in you or lack of?
No, I don't think so. You know, I mean, our run game did a great job on Sunday. So, you know, not at all.
Look, I mean, you're in your second year.
I don't know. Fans don't do work. I don't know. I mean, come on. So laissez-faire.
The thing with him, he has skills that make him more watchable than Davis Mills. But this team does not trust him yet. They've thrown 28 passes all year.
Is it weird that the Texans trust Davis Mills more?
Yes, though we're really having, like, the smallest little person conversation
right.
when it comes to these two, or the tallest little person. He has only thrown 8 of those 28 passes past the line of scrimmage. 8. I mean, we're talking like a 25% around there. And by the way, he's also been sacked 5 times, which is pretty amazing considering he's thrown the football 28 times. And of those passes, those 28 passes, 2 have been intercepted already. So this guy isn't good. You should be able to outscore him. How many other quarterbacks can you say the same thing about? I don't know, but I feel decent, good, optimistic about their chances to beat this guy.
My prediction is that if they cannot beat the Bears on Sunday, they will not surpass the 4 wins that they've had last year and the year before that.
I think you're right.
Because the only other truly winnable, they'll probably get 1 against the Jags. Maybe 2. I think
maybe.
That's generous. I'll say they lose to the Chargers. They get 1 against the Jags, Raiders, Titans,
Jacksonville
Eagles,
has the biggest pulse
Giants.
In the AFC South right now.
Maybe they could do the Commanders, Dolphins, Browns. I mean, this is for the Texans, for a team that's rebuilding, it's a murderer's row. So they need to get the win.
Oh, gosh.
In Chicago. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we recap the Thursday night football game last night. Plus, where would you like to see Sean Payton end up? I thought I knew the answer, but you got to hear Pauly G's conspiracy. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, before we get to Thursday Night Football, I have a little announcement to make.
It's happening.
I'm not getting married.
You're just going to rip the Band-Aid off
now,
huh?
No, I'm not with child. I am.
I'm devastated.
Today is my last day with ESPN 97.5 and with Vanessa and Gallant, and it's very bittersweet. I'm not going to say...
She's leaving me for a better man.
...where I'm going just yet. I wouldn't say better. I would just say different. It's not you. It's me.
Okay. See, that's a very polite way to say it. That does not make it any easier.
I've obviously love all of our listeners, and I love...
We didn't even get to exploit the dynamic of whether or not we'd ever get together for ratings.
I know. I think we were getting
there,
though.
That was the next chapter of the show.
I think the tension was building up. I think we were headed for a season two, for sure.
Unbelievable. See, because that's what happens. At the season one finale is where you put that out there. And here we are.
Someone said Paul's always getting abandoned.
I agree.
Jesus Christ.
My dad left me, too.
That did happen. I'd say this is a little different.
Yeah, you're not my dad.
It's not last time I checked. I will say this, though. I love Sean Mapes. I love Paul Gallant. Our bosses, David Gao and Todd Farquharson, are amazing. Our coworkers are great. Our pseudo-advisor, Jason Barrett, who's, I think, based in New York. Just love everybody here so much. And it was, you know, a great 6 months for me. And it you know, was a weird time in my life when I lost my dad, and then I just had a lot happen personally, and I'll just tell you guys, like, this is the best work environment I've ever worked in. Everybody was so supportive. And so, yeah, you'll find out more today and this weekend, hopefully, about where I'm at next. You'll definitely know soon, but I'm
very excited for
you.
It's an awesome opportunity, and you're all going to be pumped to hear what she got. And I mean, obviously, you take that gig over hosting with little old
Stop,
me.
Stop, not little old you. You guys are both so talented. Sean's the best producer in the game. And Paul and I, are just, sometimes we're too much alike. But, you know, I don't have to tell anybody listening. I don't care if you work in insurance, if you're a plumber, if you're a doctor, if you're a police officer. You don't always like everybody you work with. It's an whatever industry you're in. And I liked both of these guys a lot. I loved the people I worked for. And so, yeah. Tears.
He only liked me. No, he didn't love like the people you worked for.
Mm. I love Sean. I like Paul. I'm just kidding. That was a sore subject.
No, it's not. Look. I'm really thankful to you because I made this random decision to drive back from Seattle to Houston to get to the NRG Stadium press box for the Texans Seahawks game. I had no idea what to expect. I dressed up as best as I possibly could.
You did look very nice.
Thank you. And at lunch, at halftime of the game, I sat down and you sat down next to me and we talked for 10 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this person's nice. Yeah. I didn't know her. I heard she had been here covering the Astros and interviewing Jeff Luhnow.
Well, I came as soon as you left.
Right. Yeah.
In 2019.
So I had seen your work and I was like, oh, okay, she's really nice. And then a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden, months later, all of a sudden I get this call. And I'm like, hey, do you want to work with Vanessa? And I'm like, absolutely. Aww. I will take any job I can get. So I would not be back in the game if not for you. And on a personal note, this has been a lot of fun. I consider you like a little sister.
Yeah.
This has been an absolute blast over the last couple of months. And again, you're going to be so pumped to hear where she's going. It's going to be very, very awesome. So without revealing anything, she's not going far.
Yeah,
if that
I'm not
makes
going
sense.
Far. And I'm excited to, you know, for all the opportunities. And I wish I could do both. But I'm just so grateful to both of you, Sean, you as well, for handling all of our craziness. And yeah, someone's saying, don't forget us little people. Stop. I would never.
And on a what's happening next note, it's going to be me. It's going to be Sean, the very creatively named Paul Gallant Show, featuring Paul Gallant.
I would have never guessed. And I do want to make that clear because we're having people that are like, oh my God, Paul and Sean. Paul and Sean are not leaving. They're still very much here.
They're going to kill me at the end of the show. But right now,
but he's here.
I've been told that on Monday it's going to work. Okay,
well, you know, here's
like
at the end
of, you know, in Goodfellas when Tommy thinks he's going to be made. Like, see, right now, I think I'm going to be made a solo show host. I don't know. I could walk out, and they might be like, "Ha ha, fools! Bam, fired." Because that's radio. But I don't think they'll do that.
No, I think everybody. And here's the thing: if you're not familiar with Paul on social media, he hosts his own Twitch for hours at a time.
I tried.
So, like, he is more than capable of 2 hours
I've done
by
this
himself.
Before. We did this a night a long time ago.
Yeah,
so
you did like 4
fun.
Hours by yourself. So you're more than capable. But yeah, grateful to you both. Love you. you, love you, and very excited for what's next. Let's talk about some Thursday night football last night.
It was
the Browns versus the Steelers. The Browns won 29-17. The game at time certainly seemed closer than that. There was an insane catch that people say rivals.
George Pickens, OBJ. Holy crap. That was a hell of a
catch. George Pickens, by the way, that was a name we were hearing in the preseason as this is somebody to watch, and we're all like, okay, who the heck is George Pickens? I got to tell you, after a couple of games, I know the Steelers are where they are. He is an exciting element.
Monster. He's an athletic freak. If you haven't seen the catch, go watch it. It's one of the best you'll ever see. It wasn't a touchdown like Odell Beckham Jr.'s was against the Cowboys all those years ago, but good God, a great catch. The thing that sucks for all these Steelers receivers is that Mitchell Trubisky is their quarterback, and I just can't believe that this guy was taken second overall all those years ago.
And they're sticking with him.
Right.
I think by the end of the year, you're going to hear chance for Pickett, and we're going to, we'll hear from Tomlin in a second.
It's not Trubisky's fault either. Like,
no.
He got picked there. He should not have been
picked there.
He's
like forever.
And he seems like a nice guy, yeah. So I there is a part of me that feels bad for him, but Jesus, I hate watching him play. It's awful.
So 171 rushing yards against a Steelers defense. That's a new era in Browns football. I mean, against a Steelers defense. This is a rivalry that goes way back. The Steelers defense has even though it's not what it is right now, it has the reputation of being the Steelers defense. I think this is the new offense that we're going to see from the Browns. And if they can do this with Jacoby Brissett, they really should be 3-0.
Yes, they definitely should be.
And so with Deshaun Watson, I think it has the potential to be dangerous. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, by the way. Chubb had 23 touches, Hunt 15.
And run. I mean, Chubb is a beast. Chubb has, I think, going into last night's game, he has something like 5,000-plus yards rushing. And of all the yards that he's had over the course of his career, 2,700 of those yards have been after contact. He averages 3 yards after contact a play. And then they were showing that video of him doing all those squats, right, like 650, with that one bar that legitimately was bent like it was a longbow. And he is just such a strong, awesome running back. I'm a big fan of him. The Browns, going forward, play the Falcons, which I think they should win on the road. The Chargers, who are, we'll figure out on Sunday when they play against the Jacksonville Jaguars if they're pretenders or not, and see how Justin Herbert's health-wise doing. Then they play the Patriots. I mean, I could see the Browns going 2-1 the next couple of weeks. Then they have a tough stretch where they play the Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins,
that's
Bucks,
where it could get a little dicey.
Right.
They have they a murder, the true murderer's row schedule.
But it doesn't seem like the draft pick that you got from the Browns is going to be as good as it seemed like it might when Deshaun Watson got that suspension.
That's a good point. That is a local angle for sure. Here's Mike Tomlin on whether he's considering making that quarterback change.
I'm not in that mindset. I'm interested in reviewing this tape and looking at the totality of it and figuring out how we collectively get better. So the answer to that question is definitively no.
We'll see.
I love how authoritative Tomlin is at that answer, but I mean, you know what you're getting in Mitchell Trubisky. It's a bunch of frustrated wide receivers downfield. You saw what George Pickens did. Deontay Johnson's a capable player. Chase Claypool has produced. Like, they have three very good wide receivers and a pretty good tight end. That passing game should be a lot better. Ben Roethlisberger obviously was a shell of himself last season in his little retirement tour, but Trubisky has not been better at all, I think, to this point. And it's because the guy is just not comfortable staying in the pocket, and he's not comfortable throwing the football downfield. And if you can't do that in this league, you might be a backup, but you ain't a starter.
Yep. Speaking of retirement, Sean Payton retired from coaching. And immediately the moment he retired, it became, when's he going to coach the Cowboys? When's he going to coach the Cowboys? Sean at first seemed like not interested in coaching at all. Now we're getting some clues that might not be the case.
I really enjoy what I'm doing right now, and more maybe than I thought. If the right situation presented itself, Mike, I would definitely be interested in. And there's no utopia, if you will, when it comes to teams. But you know, if I felt like it was the right situation, I would have an interest in that.
That was him on with Mike Triplett and Nick Underhill, who cover the NFL. That's a little bit of a different answer than we've heard in the past, which was, I'm in the next chapter of my life.
Yeah.
Some of these guys, man, they like drinking the caffeinated drinks at 3 a.m. and being a part of the
Monster
Energy
business.
Yes. I mean, they like it.
Yes.
And I think he's missing it. So the assumption is Dallas Cowboys. You brought up something to me that really made me think you may be right.
Now, it's entirely hinging on how the rest of the season,
sure,
for the Broncos goes. But first off, Russell Wilson has a Drew Brees fetish. He is obsessed with the guy. He works out in the offseason with the guy. He also, when he put together that list of teams that he would be okay being traded to, even though he's not demanding a trade,
right.
Wink, wink, he put the Saints on that list. Part of that is because he likes Sean Payton a lot,
that's a great
too.
Point.
So take a look at what you've seen the first 2 weeks with Nathaniel Hackett. Not looking good. Still a lot of time left. Maybe he does figure it out. He is thought of highly in NFL circles, though. The first 2 weeks have been really rough to watch. The Broncos did not hire him. At least the current ownership group purchased through Walmart. They did not hire him. This was maybe a move that was done this past offseason with the hope that Aaron Rodgers would say, yeah, I'm done in Green Bay. Let's get Aaron Rodgers and his ayahuasca-loving ass to earthy Colorado to be one of the people of Boulder. I don't think that there is a guarantee that Hackett gets more than 1 year in Denver, especially with the way that things have started. And if this organization is going to give to Russell Wilson what Russell Wilson wants, I think that they will make a phone call to Sean Payton sooner rather than later. And I don't think Payton would hesitate if he has the opportunity to work with another quarterback who is, in a way, like Drew Brees in that he is undersized. I think that that could definitely happen. Now, whether it will work, I don't know. But if I had to bet, I would bet on Sean Payton being the next head coach of the Denver Broncos.
When you say it like that and you connect the dots, because here's the thing, you don't even have to put the tin hat on. Like it actually makes sense. I don't think Sean Payton is ever going to put himself in a position where he's coaching a team unless it's legitimately a Super Bowl favorite. I mean, I don't think that he has any interest in starting over in that regard. Would he want to work with Russell Wilson? Maybe he's watching the Broncos to see what Russell Wilson does, to see if he thinks it's worth coming out of coaching retirement. I don't know, man. You're working 17 weeks a year. You got one house in Dallas, and then I think he and his wife have one in New Orleans. Like, just enjoy retirement.
They're addicted
dude.
To this stuff. I think that maybe that none of them actually like the comfort of family. They're like, I hate my family. This is what football coaches think, that the assistant coaches on their staff are their family. But if he's like gone multiple seasons, I don't think he ever comes back.
Yeah,
I think you know, we've seen it with Bill Cowher. His name was thrown around a lot over the years. As a potential guy who would return to coaching. Once you're out of it for a bit, we saw it with Urban Meyer last year, I don't know that you have the same drive and love of all of the day-to-day tasks once you've been out for a little bit. Because you realize, like, oh, wait, I'm making a ton of money to do nothing.
Well, and it goes back to our conversation yesterday. Does Sean Payton take the head coaching job with the understanding with the owner of the Broncos, hey, I'm going to be more of a leader of men designator. I'm not going to be doing all the things I did when I was with the Saints. Who knows? Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we go around the NFL, some injury news, as well as some other big stories from around the league. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad,
tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Vanessa and Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts. Now,
football time.
All right, one of the most intriguing games coming up, I think, is the Bills versus the Dolphins, just because the Dolphins have been maybe more successful than people like me, and I'm pointing at myself, who didn't believe in Tua Tagovailoa.
I neither. I still don't know that I do, but
yeah,
it was a
Sean
really great
our,
performance
Sean's
last
Sean's our
week.
Resident Tuanon, but you have believed in Tua.
Yes, from, well, not day one, but when everyone was off of him, it was a stock I saw I could buy low on.
Right.
And look at me now.
Look at you now. Started from the bottom,
I mean,
now we
I'm
hear.
A crypto bro now.
It's up high now, but much like crypto, this thing could crash. I would like to pump the brakes on the preemptive crowning of Tua now that he's had two extremely fast wide receivers at it. Because if the Ravens didn't blow those coverages, which how
go.
Do you blow coverage against Tyreek Bleeping Hill? We're talking about how the Dolphins' defense is just complete trash and how Lamar Jackson carved them up. It's crazy, though. This past week, the last 5 minutes of games have changed what we've been saying about teams like, the Browns who lost
right?
to the Jets, the Raiders who blew it against the Cardinals. It was a crazy week, too. So, just saying, Tua might not be the greatest quarterback ever.
He is better than I thought still. Mike McDaniel, by the way, head coach, known as kind of the boy wonder who evolved under the Shanahan coaching tree and is now in Miami. The Dolphins shall be tested. Possibly the most that they will be all year long as they play Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And in case you're wondering, Mike McDaniel, who tends to keep it real, says, yep, Josh Allen is the best.
fast forward to the league, and I think we've all been witnesses to, you know, he's steadily become, you know, one of the best players in the National Football League. Easily could argue he's the best one. And that it's not because he's God's gift. It's because he's unbelievably talented, but it's because you can tell more than that. It's because he works at his craft. You know, he's developing every time he's on the field. He's a really, really good player that you'll never, I don't think, see him stopped necessarily. It's about minimizing and containing.
McDaniel, in that answer, it went a little further. He said before that the thing that strikes him about Allen is that he has just continuously improved, specifically the accuracy right. numbers at Wyoming to where he is now. I think McDaniel's right. Currently, week two of the 2022 NFL season into week three, Josh Allen is the best player in the NFL. What we have seen out of him in that Bills offense for, what, 6 weeks now where they're barely punting and he seems unstoppable on any down? Yeah, I don't disagree with McDaniel. I think we saw especially, too, Mahomes in that Thursday game last week against the Chargers where he's still, I think, figuring out his offense now right. that Tyreek Hill is gone. Yeah, I think McDaniel's right. Allen currently is the best player in the
league. I don't
want
to fast forward and wish it away, but, man, I can't wait for that Chiefs. Bills game. That's going to be so much fun.
I can't either.
Bill Belichick, the Patriots known to tamper here or there, cheat here or there,
hey,
spy
hey,
here or there.
Hey. Allegedly.
Did Bill Belichick tamper in this moment with Lamar Jackson? You decide.
Without a doubt. It's the type of player that's a MVP type of candidate. So I think he's more than answered him. But we'll see what his contract is. That'll answer him.
Okay, so that's Bill Belichick.
He mentioned his contract.
He did.
Knowing
I mean,
how Roger Goodell has it out for Bill Belichick being Hitler of the NFL, I could... What? Dave Portnoy said it. I can't say it?
Yeah, not Holocaust. It's a little different.
Okay, fair enough. Look, this the redheaded hammer, I could totally see him, yeah. Vanessa. I could totally see him suspending Belichick a game for tampering and taking away a first-round draft.
Well, Lamar... says that they had a very good first encounter. Ooh. Here's Lamar.
I seen Belichick smile. Usually I see him, he's like puzzle face, like a straight face guy. When I see him smile, I'm like, dang, you got humor. Like, I told him that. He was like, yeah. I'm like, I wasn't expecting you to be smiling.
Remember the...
Lamar makes Bill Belichick smile. Tampering?
I'm so bummed out about that draft going back in time. Vanessa, I was working on the... flagship broadcast of the NFL draft, and I remember we were all sitting there in the first round, and all of a sudden the Patriots had a chance to select Lamar Jackson at the back of the first round and twice in the first round, and they took Sony Michel, a running back, and Isaiah Wynn, a guard, and I mean, I'm just bummed out. I was thankful the Jaguars didn't take him because they also had an opportunity to take him.
That would have been interesting.
Man, they won the Super Bowl that year, but like I so badly wish the Patriots had Lamar Jackson. So badly.
While a lot of owners wish just for a franchise quarterback, for a quarterback that really gets after it, Jerry Jones says he would mind little competition.
So you'd want that? You'd want that controversy?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course that means we'd won. If he comes in here and played as well as Prescott played, Rush, played that well over these next games ahead. I'd walk New York to get there.
Do you think he can do that?
Well, I don't know that, but I would. You can't find on record where I said I thought Dak Prescott could do it when he stepped in and had the chance to do that, but he did it.
I always go back and forth between whether Jerry Jones or Jim Irsay is more entertaining when they actually talk. When Jerry says things, like the things that come out of his mouth, let's just flash back to, what was it, last week or 2 weeks when he broke the news of his quarterback's injury and then ended up being incorrect about it. Thoughts?
He needs to stop talking if he wants to make his players happy. If you're Dak, you're pissed hearing this.
Right.
I know that he's right in that you want Cooper Rush to be successful because... when Dak comes back, you would like to see the Cowboys in a good spot. I don't think this is a big deal, but I wonder how Dak takes that. I know that they gave him the extension. All it's going to take is a couple of decent performances by Cooper Rush to at the very least make, I think, Cowboys fans think to themselves, well, like, are we really the best we possibly can be with Dak? Right. That's not to say that they'll believe Cooper Rush is better than Dak. And also, I think it's doubtful that it'll happen. But I do wonder about the general feeling amongst Cowboy fans when it comes to Dak, who has a lot of skills, definitely been awesome considering he was a fourth-round draft pick. But since the ankle injury, he seems to be a little more limited as a quarterback than you've seen in years past, like not as willing to run. And now after another injury, you wonder, okay.
I mean, he may be one of those guys that goes down in history as somebody that just unfortunately was injury prone. All right. I worry about the Colts defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, who seems to be a little bit delusional about how his Raiders last year performed against Patrick Mahomes.
You know, Patrick Mahomes has a long history of a lot of success against single high safety and those kind of looks. So is this a week where you could try and switch things up a little bit, or is it that important just to kind of stick to what you do and build it for the long haul?
Well, I disagree with that part of it, the early statement. I think earlier, you know, we played a lot of single high against them and did some really good things. You know, points-wise, held them down. You know, the last year, you know, I think we had a game where we had a lot of turnovers, and then it kind of got the score caught up on us. So we're just going to have to do a good job. You know, obviously, a quarterback like this, mixing up the looks, doing different things.
All right, so Warren Sharp took it upon himself to look up the stats from when Gus Bradley, again, now with the Colts, was with the Raiders last year, when the Raiders played the Kansas City Chiefs, talking about the single high last year. Not good.
No, he sucks. He's not a good defensive coordinator.
I mean,
he was good with Seattle.
What is he thinking?
I don't know what
they're
doing.
I mean, if
he's
this delusional going into Sunday's game against the Chiefs, I don't care if it's at Lucas Oil. I'm worried.
I do like... It's a new twist, but saying the score caught up to us.
Yeah.
It's a good way of saying we lost. It's a really great way. We ran out of time. The score caught up.
It's like when the cheating caught up to our relationship. I don't know what happened. I mean, it just caught up with us.
Shout out to Ime Udoka.
He has been running that same defense for years. That was a nice little shout out there.
Took me a second, but I got it.
I was hoping it would just go unspoken.
Yeah. I mean, we probably have to talk about that next.
We will.
We did
see
the press conference that was just had, and it just wrapped
segment,
up.
Segment, we definitely have time.
Bradley is a guy that is stuck in the past. There are some guys who adapt to changing NFL. When he was with Seattle, the guy was a damn good defensive mind, but he had a lot of help, given that the Seahawks had one of the best secondaries that we've ever seen. Since he has left, he has kept that same defense going and going and going. It does not work against good quarterbacks. It doesn't. We need to have figured this out by now, and he never changes it up. It is predictable every single time, and it's been like this for years, whether it's with the Chargers or now, of course, with the Colts. I feel like, Vanessa, you're in for a long year.
Yeah, could be. They do not have an easy schedule either, and... So help me, sweet baby Jesus, if Carson Wentz beats them. We got a lot more to talk about than just them losing that game. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Yep, you just heard Paul talking about it, the Ime Udoka press conference. Brad Stevens just met with the media. We'll recap that, talk about a little other NBA news coming up.
ESPN
97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
TGIF, baby. We're rolling along on a Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you as always. I did say it earlier in the show, but I know we have different listeners who listen in every time, different times of the day. I believe the data, the research, by the way, says is it 11 to 15 minutes in Houston traffic?
About, yes.
Ish. I love all of you. I love our listeners. It's been so fun. I've been here 6 months. And it's been a dream come true to do the show with Paul and Sean, who are, you know, I said it earlier, but every industry you work in, I don't care if you're a doctor, a plumber, a teacher, you don't always like everybody you work with. And I like both of these guys very much. Our bosses, David and Todd, are amazing. Jason in New York, who helps us, is amazing. The salespeople rock. It's just been a really great work environment. And I'll tell you all later on social media where I'm going. But I just wanted to take the time to thank all of our listeners who listen at all different hours and make us a staple of their day. We really appreciate that.
You deserve it. I mean, it's hard to, I think, break into an entirely new city and make the headway that you have. And I mean, shoot. What is it? And we're going to do this later on in the show. 3 years to the day since you sat down with Jeff Luhnow?
Yeah, so it's 3 years yesterday that I interviewed him after the Astros clinched. But then 2 years ago in October, it'll be that I did that interview with Jeff.
The sit-down sit-downs.
So I did Big J journalism here at KPRC 2 for 2 years and was the weekend anchor. Did a lot of reporting, got a lot of experience, and then... You know, I just wanted to try something different and I wanted to grow. And I think radio, when you work in media, you know that radio can be the most challenging medium. It's not cookie cutter. You can't get away with a 1 minute, 2 minute. I mean, you have to really know your stuff. And so it's been like a boot camp the last 6 months of just really growing. And so
you've gotten very good. I mean, you were good to begin with, but it's been fun. And I feel like it's hard to create a back and forth as quickly as we did. I didn't think, you know, usually it takes a couple of months, and I always felt like from the start, it's like, oh yeah, like we feel very comfortable busting each other's chops.
Was nice.
You don't always find that.
No.
There are a lot of sensitive people in this industry, and I mean, I know from time to time I can be that.
No.
But there are...
Never!
There are some people holy crap, like you can't say anything about them, and they get very, very mad.
I get mad if somebody doesn't make fun of me, because then I feel like they're patronizing me. Like, make fun of me.
As a woman. Yeah.
Yes.
Can't do that.
But I love both of you, and it's been so much fun. So, like I said, I'll tell everybody what I'm doing later. But, yeah, we turn now to a pretty serious situation that's going down in the NBA, and Woj, of course, broke the story two nights ago that there was a possible suspension with Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. We then got more detail from Shams Charania, just about it was a apparent consensual intimate relationship with a female staffer, which goes against the Celtics team policy. So Wick Grosbeck, who's the Celtics owner, and then Brad Stevens, the former head coach, now general manager, right, met with the media literally 10 minutes ago. We're going to start with Wick Grosbeck. He talked about the fact that they can't go into too much detail, but also a little bit about the timeline.
You might notice I have notes here. I don't think I've ever had notes at a press conference. I enjoy speaking ad lib extemporaneously and letting things share freely. But in this case, I really have to refer to the notes and stay within the bounds. And I have to break it to you that if you had the notes in front of you, you wouldn't learn all that much. So it's sort of that type of press conference. I'm sorry for that. It's privacy reasons for the people involved is the concern. I can say a few things, and I have a few bullet points to add, and then Brad will have some words. I can say that we, as soon as we learned there was a potential situation, we immediately brought in a respected law firm to conduct a thorough investigation and impartial investigation. And they took some time. And we actually concluded that investigation with a report 2 days ago. So that's the reason for the timing here.
Yeah. And
it started in June or July, I guess, is what Sham said. Good for them, though, for bringing in a neutral law firm instead of sweeping it under the rug. Wow.
I am shocked that they suspended him for the season, that they suspended him.
Right.
Wouldn't you think this would be something that
NBA
would do? Especially given that this is the first time that the Celtics, with all this young talent, made it to the NBA Finals with Jaylen Brown, with Jason Tatum, and with Marcus Smart still in there. I think a lot of organizations would have tried their hardest to look the other way. But it is 2022, and even if this was a consensual relationship between Udoka and the staffer, this looks awful. You know, you can't change the optics, even if the situation would say that this was just two people that were messing around that shouldn't have been messing around, since one of them, Udoka, is engaged. That's why they came down. I mean, I guess you give them credit for it. I'm not going to lie, as a Celtics fan, I'm pretty disappointed in this. But I mean, if you're doing shady stuff like that with people at your workplace, what's going to happen?
You know, and I've had a lot of people that, and I do understand this angle, because a season is a long time, that say, well, why? Why? The only thing I can think of is, and it's not just the Me Too movement, it's as a whole where we're at and what we know now about power dynamics. Whether you're talking about how poorly Monica Lewinsky was treated when she, you know, engaged in inappropriate behavior. She shouldn't have done that as a woman in her 20s with a married man. But he was the president, and we look back now on that and realize that, yeah, he should have been held more accountable as well. My gut feeling, and they've basically said this, so this isn't a stretch, is that He's the head coach.
Yeah.
She's a female staffer. Mm-hmm. He is most likely her superior. So it wasn't an appropriate relationship. And I think that workplaces in general are pushing people to say, hey, if you have a relationship, you have to go to HR, make a formal written thing. I mean, God, my parents met at work. Like, a lot of people meet their spouses at work, but you have to make it clear with HR that that's what's happening.
Or a year is a long time. You can roll the dice, and this can happen.
Things like this happen. I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised it's a year. But I do know a little bit about Brad Stevens since he's from Indiana and I grew up following him. I know that he's very professional. He was with Butler and he has been with the Celtics. Here's Brad Stevens on this situation with Ime Udoka.
Brad, just a follow-up. Was there a point where you considered, almost for like stability reasons, obviously you have great familiarity with this team, to step in and coach on an interim basis?
Joe's the best choice to do that. By a long shot. So, you know, as you go through all this whole process, it all hits you. But I think that we have the best people in place to do that, and Joe is the best person to do that on our in our organization.
He doesn't want to do it anymore.
No, because a lot of people. I mean, he used to be the Celtics head coach. It's like, why are you not?
Yeah, it's weird too. Like you're not coaching for a year. That's all it takes. You know, for you to potentially lose a pulse of the locker room. Yeah, yeah, 100%. We do have a caller,
Lamont. Hello.
Hey man, are we adults? Are we adults? Can people, you know, do their thing? I know the whole dynamics of superior versus subordinates, but
right.
We live in a world where I can't think of her name, the host of Big Brother. Isn't she married to, like, Liz Moonves? The CEO of CBS?
Right. But that's disclosed. No, she is.
She is. Okay.
The host of Julie. It's Julie Chen, I think. She's married to... Yeah, she's married to the owner of the whole company. And to your point, Lamont...
I know what he did was, you know, wrong against his marriage, and I think that's a private situation.
Sure.
But for them to step in... For the Celtics to step in and do that to him, I don't even think that relationship is going to last because, I mean, come on, man. You can't be regulating my bedroom. What I ultimately think is he probably hit someone with the mule. He probably hit someone with the mule that was in the organization.
Well,
and that's
but,
all
but
I got.
Julie Chen, maybe. But Julie Chen Moonves and Les Moonves have their marriage disclosed to CBS. I mean, CBS knows about it.
And this is, I mean, this is different. And there are some details that are, again, rumors. Who knows if they're actually true? But this may not have been something that was, I guess, confined to certain places.
Right.
Like outside.
This I mean, we don't know.
And we don't know.
Here's the thing. The dynamic also changes when you're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a completely different. So there's professionalism. There's power dynamics. It's a lot.
Some people brought up like, hey, why are you bringing this up? Like, why isn't this something that's being kept a private matter? Clearly, it was no longer private. I think that's the conclusion that you can draw. Like somebody important figured out how. Who knows? But that's what took place.
It's like when you gamble, sometimes you lose. I said that about everything from the Deshaun Watson, from the Browns getting Deshaun Watson
mm-hmm.
when he hasn't played that well his last season, and when he has all the lawsuits. This is the same thing. Not the same thing. Ime Udoka, anybody who takes this big of a risk, sometimes it works out and no one ever finds out about it. Sometimes that does not happen and people do find out.
It very rarely is something you're going to be able to keep entirely private because all it takes is a couple of passing glances or flirtatious movements for someone to at the very least speculate. And I think Lamont brought up a point about how maybe there are some people in the organization who don't like Udoka. That could definitely be a possibility and maybe this was some
Both
details they found out.
True.
I know that there is something that happened in Houston not too long ago with a certain team that it involved similar situations. So this is one of those things, though, where I wonder, Vanessa, about, you know, to bring it back sort of to with the Deshaun Watson situation.
Yeah.
A couple of people on the Twitch are bringing it up. Like, it's kind of ridiculous that the Celtics are suspending him a full season. The Browns didn't even have the balls to suspend him one game.
That's an NFL problem.
It is. No doubt about it. I do think the Browns continue to look worse. That's all you could really say.
Totally.
I mean,
totally.
But you're... the Celtics took care of this in-house. I suppose they are to be commended for having honor in this situation in a cutthroat sports world where they just made it to the finals. They suspended
their head coach. And it was such a fairy tale. It was his first year, right?
I mean, yeah, it was.
His first year, here's this young, guy, black coach that gets along with the players and all that. So it's a really bummer. And I mention his race, by the way, because there has understandably been a push for diversity, as there should be, among head coaches. So there have been a lot of people that have gotten away with these things, and I've heard that brought up too. And all I can say is that I hope that we continue to push for respectful workplace relationships and do more things with transparency, whatever industry you work in.
Just don't be a dumbass. I mean, don't.
That too.
Am I allowed to say the term? You know,
I think you are.
You don't dip the pen in company ink, if you will, like that.
Or you disclose it to HR if you do.
Right.
Right.
Like, look at that. We just did an HR 101 video.
You should hire us for.
Are you going to have to watch HR videos at your new job?
We'll see.
Those are my favorite. Like, one of the funny parts about coming here is like, we're a little different here. Right. Like, we don't have like the super like massive corporations, but there are other places. The last place I worked at, Vanessa, you know, for the Mormos and Bonneville, we had to watch so many videos about like sexual harassment, and to see the actors that were involved in it. Oh my God. I hated watching it, but eventually I'd get into it because the acting was so bad.
My problem is I'm a woman and I'm like probably the biggest violator on out of anybody on air of just like things that I say casually.
No. You're fine. It's radio. We can see this. This is what you're going to miss. You can do it here. True. You can on TV.
True that. Don't miss football season. Don't miss betting. Don't miss any of that. BUSR.com/ESPN. The Texans over under is 4.5. Maybe you believe they'll win more. By the way, you can still get the Astros at +400. All of it's at BUSR.com/ESPN. Maybe you're a roulette guy. Maybe you're more of a blackjack girl. Good news. You can do it all right now at BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.